This is Committee of the Whole Meeting, January 21st, 2013.
I'll meet to order at 7:08. Roll call.
Trustee Clemens?
Aye. Or who's present? Sorry.
Trustee Newby?
Present.
Trustee Sandoval?
Here.
Trustee Simoncelli?
Present.
Trustee Chippa?
Present.
Trustee Wyszynski?
Present.
Okay, item 2.1, approval of the minutes, Committee of the Whole Meeting of January 7th, 2013.
So moved.
Second. Motion to Chippa, second by Wyszynski. Questions, comments? Roll call.
Trustee Newby?
Aye.
Trustee Sandoval?
Yes.
Trustee Simoncelli?
Yes.
Trustee Chippen?
Aye.
Trustee Wyszynski?
Aye.
Trustee Clemens?
Aye.
Motion carries. Human Resources, we hope public comment on Committee of the Whole. Okay, on to Human Resources and Finance Budget Assumptions.
I'm going to get started, Steve. I don't know if you intend to go through every one of these charts this evening, but certainly, as we kick off budget season, there are certain assumptions that go into the planning, and I think what Steve's put together is a lot of good information, actually some, I think some very helpful charts and diagrams that make it a lot easier than just looking at a bunch of numbers here. But so the first one, obviously, is revenue. And it looks like in most cases of about 11 years of data, that is correct. First of all, it's really a big picture overview of all the revenues of the village. Really look at the top graph, that 4 million line, the water and sewer fees. Keep in mind, I made a note there, that two of the major revenues, the general fee and the Lake County sewer, is pass-throughs. So a portion of that revenue the villages. Two other resources included in there are just paid rights organizations like County and County. So then we have property tax rates, we have property taxes, and obviously the property tax numbers assume the CPI 2.5 going forward from here. The property tax rates are pretty consistent with what the village of Mr. Pepper sign is. This year, 9.6%. As far as the property taxes, as a total of the general fund revenues, we're down to 46%. Historically, it's been about 50, slightly over that. And then the property tax levy chart you have in front of you, what's eating up our property taxes, I guess, is police pension. In 2008, the police pension levy was 7% of the overall corporate levy. It's now up to 12.5%. So it's increased, I believe, about 78% in 5 years only. You can see that it's hard to see about that part of that graph, the top part.
And so then the general fund, so it's broken down into the fund, various funds after that. So general fund, debt service fund, and then water sewer fund, other revenue. Is there anything that we want to highlight in the general fund revenue? I think everything. These are numbers that we've gone over historically.
Well, some of the new per capita is new, but yes, historically we've gone over. Some are states, these are historical trends, not a lot of these, specific court fees. excuse me, sales tax are historical trends. We've been trending these revenue sources for now 8 years, 10 years. There's nothing unusual. Remember, we continue to look at this until we finalize the budget book. And what we do is we'll come back to the board and any assumptions that have changed, cross it off or underscore it and put in the new amounts or the new percentage.
go back and point out on the tax levy graph for a second, the note there, that 2012 levy is really only capturing new growth only, so really what, it's not an increase, and then last year was an actual decrease. So when you see that chart up there, so that's the difference in revenue.
That's correct.
And you go forward. So then debt service funds.
All the debt service payments, special purpose utility taxes.
And then the additional transfer in from the general fund.
That is correct.
Year 350. Water and sewer fund. We've got the village fees, Jawa water fees, and as I think Steve mentioned, Jawa and the lake,
Lake County Sewer.
Lake County Sewer.
We have the fees
there that we fish pay. So village fees, 4% of the water.
4% is the increase we're projecting on November 1st.
And then, so we got the chart that shows reduced consumption projected for both water and sewer. And what's, I mean, that's, do we have any underlying, or do we know exactly why that's happening, or is that just...
Actually, it's been pretty consistent for the last three actual years.
Yeah.
9, 10, 10, 11, 11, 12. And this current year consumption, I believe, is up about 3%, but that's just because of weather conditions. It was a warmer summer, therefore consumption is up. Last 5 years, I think the consumption is down 60 to 60 range. Why? I don't know exactly, but I remember it was way up there now.
In general, throughout the Jawa member communities, it's been down.
The discussion
is that it's most likely due to water conservation measures. And some discussion, like Lake Bluff, is down quite a bit because they have a lot of empty nester houses and the like. That's probably not true in most communities, but they attribute a big part of Lake Bluff's being just to that fact where typically they had 3 or 4 kids in a household. But overall, it has been down mostly due to the water consumption and conservation means.
Which is actually good sign. The other revenue that we have is the junior parking lot, which we are not estimating any growth in, and the motor fuel tax. We're expecting a reduction from last year's budget.
That is correct. That is the capital rates from the LA municipality. No use of for budget purposes.
All right. I guess based on the 5-year forecast, we're expecting revenues to be flat or increasing only 1.5% on the 5-year period.
That is the entire 5 years?
That's what we do, yes.
Kind of how it, so every year it's 1.5% increase in the revenue tax.
Right. Okay, then we're going to the 2013-14 expense assumptions. Again, we got a 1.5% increase forecasted. Start off with personal related expenses, 2% COLA on May 1st, and step increases for roughly 9 employees, and 8 employees that COLA increase only,
and the rest are contractual.
IMRF and insurance, we had discussed previously, Should we do the insurance, just how that would be? All right, health insurance, expecting 10% increase, dental, 7.5% increase, life insurance, 3% increase, and vision, no increase.
Vision, we have a multi-year contract, so one of the other years will be absolutely none. Life insurance, that contract ends, so I assume the 3%. Dental has been averaging slightly less than 7.5% historically. Health was a little higher. No, actually, health was lower last time, I'm sorry. Maybe 10%.
We got risk management, fuel, and technology. Risk management, we're expecting a 13% increase. Fuel, CPI, which is 2.5%. And technology, CPI. Other assumptions? I guess you started it last year, but the 30% operating reserve. That's relatively new. Right, in terms of, is this what you're referring to when we talk about the...
We're trying to think about cash. For 30% operating reserve, a reserve for debt, a reserve for replacement. The replacement funds are relatively new. This current year we're in is brand new. And for those that aren't aware, you put away a certain amount each year based on depreciation of the equipment or inventory of these funds, so that when that equipment is due to be replaced, you have the cash available in the bank to replace that at that time.
And those are things that you know we have to replace all the time.
Vehicles,
correct. Technology, and we even have it for buildings, which replace $3. What we can do is that
has a cabinet system.
Okay.
And some of those options too, remember that we look at the CIP, we look at carryovers, the projects are ongoing, so we can carry over, some projects that need to be moved, etc.
Alright, so the next section is kind of a fund status. We've got a chart here on each of the major funds, general fund, debt service fund, water, sewer, motor fuel tax, capital projects, your parking lot, general service funds, and freight funds. So I guess we start with the general fund. And anything in particular you want to point out on this?
We did have projected reserves last year under assumptions. We didn't have any type of projected reserves. That's that green line on the bottom. We're saying this is the cash that's necessary for adequate reserves. I'm going to make this comment. All these graphs are right from the budget book last year, the financial forecast. So all we're doing is taking those financial forecasts and throwing them in graph form to show you where we're at today. And then these will be updated after the budget's done again, and we'll show you where we're going from there. So these are just last year's financial forecasts. They have to be updated now with the assumptions we're telling you about for revenue and expenses yet.
The debt service funds, this group, still in the general fund, talking about 30%. And that hovers right around 2 million, goes up to, it looks like about 27, 28.
Yeah, so 30% again. Placement funds and debt.
All right, and then debt service funds. Those are fairly stable. We were able to reduce them previous years by restructuring them, but since we've done all that, they're pretty much going to stay flat. So. And then the water and sewer fund, you've got a note here that the revenue is based on the phasing of the water sector completed in 2010, and that the large expense increases through 2014 are for scheduled capital. So in that fund, we see the cash balance going down in between 2013 and 2014. Expenses going up, obviously, during that same time, and revenues going up at a slow pace. Any major concerns there?
I don't have any major concerns. Pretty healthy fund out from the water.
Yeah, I mean, even when they all converge, we're being roughly a little over $4 million. More fuel tax fund. Look at that one. You see a pretty good spike there in 2013, 2014, coming back down in 2015. And that's due to the Hark Road and the Gales Bridge projects that we have scheduled during that time. But again, cash balance does dip kind of low in 2015, so it comes right back up. Continues to rise. Any questions on that one? Do you talk about it? All right. On to the capital projects fund. So this one has some spikes in 2013, 2014. Cash balance going down until about 2016 and rebounding as expenses went up.
Well, because the CIP needs to be programmed for 3 years, so cash is going down.
Down zero because there's no projects. Any concerns or anything that we need to see?
Yeah, I just wish we had a higher recurring revenue source for capital projects. We'll be taking a hard look at that on like MFG.
All right. Then the Commuter Parking Lot Fund, which is not a large fund, but we see the cash balance steadily increasing over the next 5 years. A big spike in revenues and expenses in 2016 and 2017. And that's the 2017 year is the new parking lot for the Long Lake Metro Station.
So that cash you guys replace is going up for replacement items.
Internal service funds, those are not funds that we or access.
This is a depreciation fund, replacement funding.
So there again, trend looks good.
2018 was a little odd again because you had the program replacement items, but expenses way down and cash is way up.
And then finally we have the Bright Meadows Fund, which hold pretty steady for all revenue expenses, hold steady from now on through 2018, and we see cash decline slightly, but still health reserve for that fund.
It declined slightly because each year we assume a slightly higher rebate or payment. Yes, I'm sorry, payment.
But still, even if the amount in there is fine, except for what we think we'll need. Anything else?
We're in the budget process now. All the departments have gone through their first draft. I received those budgets back. I have to still program some of the salaries, taxes, and insurances in. If there's any questions, we have to go to each specific department, not specifically the liaisons. That's what we're up here for. I'll show you our budget in the next couple weeks minimum. Come March, come February, I'm sorry, and we'll be putting the budget books together in the third week, so the first meeting of March, we'll hopefully have a presentation.
So this is, as Steve mentioned, you know, everyone is on a committee or has either a chair or co-chair. I would urge you all to get involved in budgeting process as well. If you're aware of any needs, anything that is, may have to be reflected, please work with your liaison.
That way we're all, you know, there's fewer surprises when we actually get the budget focused and presented.
Thank you, Trustee Clemens.
Questions? Anybody? Okay, on the Public Works Facilities Capital Asset Engineering Municipal League Maintenance Co-op Program.
Thank you, Mayor. I just two words of the board. I had a summary last time, and there were some questions, uncertainties, and so I wanted to just very briefly give an update from what I've learned. And I have a cash for review after the meeting, if you desire, an original summary that I presented on January 7th. The agreement of Lake County Municipal League at the SIM, as well as a commitment letter. And this is really very brief, focusing just on what I've learned since our last discussion, and that's about mid-page from this updated summary. And it's basically its clarification as to assuming we are interested in being a cooperative purchasing municipality on the five different infrastructure type activities. And for the audience, those are street sweeping, crack sealing, pavement marking or scraping, sewer activities, ranging from cleaning, televising, up to and including winding. And then the last category, tree removal or tree trimming. That, if the board remembers, came as a result of a survey that the Municipal League sent out. I have responded on behalf of the village. There were like 21 different categories. Where the common interest were these five categories. So if we enter into agreement and make a commitment, that will help the Municipal League determine if there's sufficient interest in any one of these five work categories, all of them, two of them, sufficient. In Chris Kempy's mind, that was talked to most recently today, is three or more municipalities want to join hands to where that presumed buying power of a larger project would hopefully bring better price. If only one municipality responds that they're interested in one of these, there's no need for pursuing a cooperative purchase effort for that category. And if we say we're interested by entering into the formal agreement and making a commitment, we still are not totally obligated to take that all the way to signing the contract with a construction contract. It would invite us to be an active participant in the final specifications for that work activity. And at that time, all that February, March, we could still say, well, revenue that we were planning on didn't come through as much, and other expenses, we could still back away and not actually be a participant this year for calling is the expectation as we say we're in, we then stay in. So that was kind of a clarification that I obtained from Chris Kennedy's. And it then leads myself, after consultation with Mark, to the recommendation on the second page that we do be a participant, i.e. we'll authorize the mayor, not tonight, but presumably at the next board meeting, to enter into the formal agreement, formal commitment. And my recommendation for this first year is we entertain street sweeping, crack sealing, and pavement marking. If you recall from previous board meeting, my recommendation was only street sweeping. Excuse me, only pavement marking. Our street sweeping contract is now expired. We would be by either going it alone or as part of this effort, bidding that out anyway. And similarly, wherever we land with the budget, hopefully we will continue with crack sealing at some dollar magnitude. So as I pondered this, I believe all three of those, should the board be interested in this cooperative purchasing initiative, we advise that those are the three arrangements for you. Sewer cleaning and belt driving was better served by using the county public works department from a rate and from a timeliness standpoint. And the tree trimming, tree removal, in my judgment, is still not adequately defined as to the magnitude of where we're going. So be pleased to answer any questions that you might have.
In your summary from January 7th, that I was not able to attend, you have on your disadvantages a little bit smaller contracts you likely to be left out. Of the three, the street sweeping, the crack sealing, and pavement marking that you're recommending now, are we currently utilizing our two local contractors for those?
Street sweeping, we've had holding. Oh my God, I don't remember the full name of your company. Holding Street Cleaning Company. Southwestern part of Chicago Metropolitan Area.
So not Brumley.
I'm not aware of a small local street sweeping contract. Holding has given us good service. Whether they would bid on this cooperative initiative should it go forward, I don't. Crack sealing, we have been well served by Beam Pavement Maintenance. They were the successful bid in the last two. They're out of Crystal Lake, and at the time of bid award for this latest crack sealing in November, I did have a conversation with them, and this cooperative initiative was just starting to take some shape. They felt they could not compete if a number of municipalities joined forces, and that from their knowledge of this industry, it would, some reasonable chance it would not even be a company from within the Chicago metropolitan area that got the real big problem. They felt they'd be competitive price-wise. Again, I'm getting what they said. But they don't have the equipment to take on a $500,000 crack sealing project.
There's no relative to that.
That's correct. And And then the pavement marking, also no round blade area striping contrast.
Sorry, I think both of them, but instantly were okay. Who would normally get potentially the effect of that? Okay. And then limited influence over the work schedule? I mean, we're stuck to whatever, you know, if we're entering as a group, we just get the lunch, kind of, so the five? The five activities. But the one thing that we'll share is that how the work can get performed and the what folks on this first one goes in the direction and hold other facilities to group by.
If we are a participant, let's use grass field, and let's assume 10 municipalities also want that, so there's a total of 10 different municipalities that will be served by grass field contract. The decisions as to when in that order municipalities we would fall would be decided at a pre-construction meeting. The contractor presumably coming in with their most favored approach from a logistical standpoint, from a moving around standpoint. Might not be an issue at all. The only concern I would have in a situation like that is weather. And if these projects get out to bid soon enough, and that's where Chris, fortunately and understandably, is pushing to try and bring all this together so that projects are bid out early enough, call it springtime, awarding contracts and work execution in the summer.
Sorry, I apologize for the thing because I was kind of called this last meeting. No liquidated damages. What are you referring to? Can you clarify that for me?
I'm sorry,
no liquidated damages.
That's right. Given liquidated damages, just very briefly, if we were doing a project ourselves, we would determine what is a reasonable performance period, or 30 days, whatever that work activity is. And once we issue notice to proceed to the contractor, then they have 30 days to complete that work, after which, absent something beyond their control, they start paying us some predetermined amount, call it $1,000 a day. Given multiple municipalities presumably engaged, the municipal league did not figure a defensible way to have liquidated damages. So there's some risk that, particularly if we're towards the tail end of the execution sequence, that we could have committed money and get weathered out. Probability of that? Don't know. Thank you for those questions.
Thank you for clarifying.
Chris is the letter that went out asked for commitment, signed agreement by the end of January. She knows that she's presenting this tonight. She knows that we will not meet that date. I did advise her that I'd give her some feedback after tonight's discussion, that it looks like we definitely are in, or whatever So if the board is sufficiently interested in this, that at the next meeting they want to authorize the mayor to make the, to sign the agreement, make the commitment, early February will work, when we say the week.
Again, this is to show potential interest, doesn't bind us. Once they start putting the package together, we can still decide whether to participate in the bid. If we participate in the bid, then there are some constraints to follow through on.
Correct.
So we don't have to, there's no written notice saying, no, we don't want to do the project. Just say, we show interest in the
at this point,
right.
Yeah, there's a couple of the demands where they kind of don't fit too well with me, and like the goal was over a little bit longer. So, but if it's showing just interest in, you know, once again, I'm also cost-conscious and it needs to save money, but I don't want to save money at the expense of us not able to do the necessary repairs done and the proper maintenance.
I would ask that in the next 2 weeks, as you digest this, think about it, please, if you have any questions, contact me so I can get answers. And then, Mayor, you had questions that you not list here. Yes, they have an attorney that has reviewed the concept, given some guidance, and I did not write down the name of that law firm. And then do we pay anything as a processing fee for this first year? The answer is no. Getting this off the ground, seeing how successful it actually is, the wage is prepared to absorb the administrative and processing fee. Next year, assuming success, there probably will be some nominal pay if one becomes a participant in this project.
That would probably be under the assumption they would have some projected fees to apply at that time as well.
Yeah. Thank you.
Do we have a general consensus to move this forward, or hear me? Okay. Okay, then we've got the first, so I don't forget to mention it, we set out a CTY or contacted by a village resident who was alerted to the District 116 school restructuring planning discussions that's going on. There are parent informational meetings being held tomorrow, January 22nd, morning session 7:30 to 9:30, afternoon session 1 to 3, and evening session 7 to 9 at the Ronick High School Theater. Board acceptance of school's restructuring plan, meeting date Monday, January 28th at 7 p.m., High School Theater, and community forum following Wednesday, February 13th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Durant Lake High School Theater. We did get a couple of notes of appreciation for following up and letting the community know about what was going on. So we looked up on. The group Swalco transfer station. I talked to Marty Fallon from Shaw, who represents the group in their planning for the facilities before Christmas, I believe it was. They were offering to host public meetings with the village. We talked about that at a prior meeting. I followed up with them when I responded to them originally, they mentioned that Walco had requested that they hold off on those meetings until they see how Swalco's plan develops. Listening to Swalco at their meeting on the construction debris processing facility and the comments that Swalco needed to stay well ahead of the timeline so they didn't fall behind and be chasing after trying to catch up on it. I think it behooves the village to kind of take the same attitude that we need to stay on top of it, learn as much as we can, and try to educate our residents as well. With the thought that maybe the more they learn, maybe they won't think it's so invasive, or they'll have many good questions developed to be able to ask as the process goes along. Anyway, on January 11th, I talked to Marty again. They were trying to put together a meeting, Round Lake Park hosting a public meeting, which very well may also serve as the life cycle analysis for February 17th. They didn't have it confirmed. They were still trying to set it up. I indicated that our village may still desire to have meetings if possible prior to that so we could educate our residents and board. He said that he wasn't saying no, that it would be up to Groot. Swalco had kind of asked that Groot hold off on that. All of the players are trying to develop their plans and don't want to make a lot of commitments until they get to a certain point to where they're at. He tried to allude that, well, maybe it won't go forward, so, you know, why get all excited ahead of time if things don't continue to develop? At least was what I got from the response. So I indicated that we definitely would be interested in trying to do a meeting regardless of what everybody else does, and he said he would let Drew know that. And I indicated as well that we would like to have our board and residents educated to be able to stay ahead of the project so that we can try to keep up if it does indeed develop. So I want to let the board know what we've learned so far. And suggested to Mark that maybe we put a note on the website to let residents know that we are trying to keep up on it and keep them informed. We've also talked about maybe doing a CTY questionnaire, or online questionnaire, to get some feedback from residents as well. Comments?
Trustee
Agreement? I need to make a note to follow up and try to bug them about what progress they're making and let them know that we're still interested regardless of what everybody else does.
How soon will we know about the February 17th date?
I think he indicated once they had something firmed up it would be publicized as a public meeting. And he did say that would be a public meeting where anybody could come in and comment. It was more, I think we don't want people to be too aware too far ahead of time. They might come and inundate us more than we would like. Suggested new topics? None? Non-executive session, motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Moving.
Second.
Second. Clement, all in favor?
Aye.
Motion carries.
Thank you.